Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Many teachers early in their careers are looking for guidance. Are their lessons engaging? Is their classroom well organized? Are the kids focusing? The turnover among teachers in Baltimore City schools has risen to double digits, and rates are highest among teachers in their first 5 years of teaching. Even though salaries are higher than other districts in Maryland, teacher turnover remains high in Baltimore. Mentoring can help new teachers acclimate to the classroom and adjust their styles. Where to get that kind of mentoring insight? One abundantly available resource that teachers often overlook is students. Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields spent 20 years as a teacher. He's co-founder of the educational consulting firm The Cambrio Group. He's also one of this year's Open Society Institute Baltimore Community Fellows. He and nine other fellows will each receive $60,000 over the next 18 months to fund a local project that furthers the nonprofit Open Society Institute's focus on the needs of underserved groups in Baltimore City, from Latino communities in Southeast Baltimore to young people in the Penn North neighborhood. Lamar Shields' project is to establish the Teacher Exchange. Dr. Shields is here to tell us about it. Lamar Shields, welcome to On the Record.
I'm excited.
Teachers and students spend an incredible amount of time together, but students are often overlooked as a potential resource. Why do you think that is?
When teachers are coming out of these schools of education, we don't really focus a lot of time on what I call our client, the young people that we're going to engage. We really focus a lot on the teacher that's going to be teaching. But then I think we forget about the young people who we're going to provide this service to. And then I also think that in this country that we live in, we don't really respect youth voices. We say we do. And I was excited that the Open Society Institute has given me an opportunity to elevate and amplify the young people in Baltimore City, their voices.
Tell us how the Teacher Exchange works.
You know, I was a new teacher in Baltimore City College, coming from Chicago, lived in Latin America. Everything that was new to me here. And I had a student named Henry Brim who basically became my coach, not understanding what he was teaching me. But Henry taught me the language of Baltimore. It's a very different language from Baltimore to Chicago. He taught me the culture, the music, the way people talk, the way people act, the way that people engage. And of course, at the time, I didn't realize that this was a mentor-mentee relationship. So then as I got older...
He was your student.
This is one of my former students, yeah, Henry Brim. And so then as I got older and started to do research and studying books around pedagogy, I realized that there was a lot of research around mentors that were coming into the classroom to support new teachers. Oh, these were teachers who were more seasoned. But there wasn't a lot of research around young people working with teachers. So then I started thinking, wow, there's a lot of research around the mentor. So we know mentoring and coaching works. And then I thought about my relationship with Henry and how I removed my ego out of the way and said, let this kid guide me. And then I just decided to merge the two of them. And so with the research that I was studying around mentoring and coaching that most school districts have, and then I said, well, how about I work and train young people to do the exact same thing to support teachers? And I tried the process out at City College where I was teaching, and we were very successful. We did a small pilot with a group of young people just to see if this theory and this concept worked, because that's what researchers do, you know. And it worked. These two young people I work with, they taught a lesson on stress, because that's the one thing teachers and students have in common. They all have this high level of stress. And when I put these two young people, a young lady and a young man, in front of six teachers, administrators, and school counselors, they were blown away that these young people were able to articulate and to engage them. But then the students also said to the teachers, because some of the teachers weren't paying attention, they were talking to one another, they were doing all the things that young people do. And the students would say, now, Mr. So-and-so, you don't like when we do that in class, when we're talking and you're trying to teach us something. You know, how do you think we feel? And there was this aha moment that came along with it. So then at that moment, I then knew that we had something. But then also, Sheila, I looked around the country and every movement, being in South Africa, being in the United States with Dr. King, you know, most movements were led by young people with the support of elders. And so it started to make sense. And then that was the birth of the Teacher Exchange.
What other kinds of feedback would teachers be soliciting from students?
You know, I think the biggest challenge that teachers, in particular new teachers that are coming into the profession, there's this cultural curve. And when I say cultural curve, race is always the easy part. But I'm talking about a cultural curve of you have this gender cultural curve, you have this language cultural curve, you have this regional cultural curve, and then you also have this level of trust, you know, or this distrust. When you're working with a group of disparate kids, kids who are used to not trusting people, and then you throw teachers that don't look like me, teachers that don't talk like me, teachers that don't listen to the music that I listen to, how do you engage that young person? Well, one is you have to build this level of trust. And since young people hang out with the students, they take the bus together, they know then how to transfer this information to the teachers and say, this is how you engage a kid like me. And it's not about reading these books around pedagogy. It's about developing these intimate relationships. And I call it the Ubuntu effect. And Ubuntu is a South African term, which means humanity. I am because you are. And the only way I can be me is you allowing me to be me and vice versa. I believe that many teachers are afraid to ask young people, what does it take to engage you? What don't you like about my teaching style? What do you love about my teaching style? How do you feel when you walk into my classroom? How can I make this classroom more inviting? And I think because we're adults and we're supposed to know all the answers, sometimes we're afraid to ask young people, how do I engage you? There are some great teachers that are doing it, but I want to really continue that by using young people as a part of the strategy.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, one of this year's 10 Open Society Institute Community Fellows. His project, called the Teacher Exchange, offers a twist on typical teacher mentoring programs by connecting teachers and students. You know, some people might think, well, students won't take this seriously. They won't really give honest feedback. I think maybe Ubuntu addresses that, but yeah. I need you to spell it out for me because I'm not sure I get it.
Yeah, well, young people are the most brutally honest people on this planet. I mean, they look at you and they'll say something like, "Miss Dr. Shields, I wouldn't have worn those shirt with that shoes." And you turn around and you start to look like, you know, I'm a grown man, but maybe I should not have worn it, because they're brutally honest. And I love that about them. They don't have a filter. But imagine them. We want to keep how strong they are, but we want to add some research. We want to add some data. We want to pull into them. So Ubuntu talks about humanity. It talks about bringing people together. It's not about watering down an approach that we don't look alike and we don't sound alike. It's about connecting, as you know, our great teacher and thinker who was a part of Apple, Steve Jobs, always talked about connecting the dots. And it's about using people as a way to connect the dots, in particular using young people, because we should want to elevate their voices. We should want to hear what they have to say. But in a world, in a community where it says we want young people to be responsible for their learning, we don't really define what that means. When I ask educators, well, what does it mean to have young people to be responsible for their learning? No one can really define it. This is a great way to do that. But not only do we want to support new teachers, because this is for new teachers, first, second, and third year. Sheila, I want to encourage teachers, young people, teachers of color in particular, because this is the school I'm going to be working with. I want to encourage more women going into the teaching profession, which we already see. I want to encourage more young men of color going into the profession. But then I also want them to become advocates. I want them to be down at City Hall. I want them to be in the school board meetings to understand what policy means. What does charter schools mean? You know, what does parochial schools mean? What does advocacy actually mean? It's my hope that these individuals who become coaches, that they may go into the professions of social work. They may go into professions of being an educator, or they may just want to become social advocates around issues around education. Because quite often when I go to Annapolis and when I go to D.C., rarely do I see young people at the table. So we're making decisions about young people who are not even in the room. This is an opportunity to allow young people to be in the room, to be in the space, to say, I want to be responsible for my education, and I want to support my teacher, who I love and who I have a respect for, to provide them with some skills and strategies to support them.
You mentioned a few minutes ago, I think you used the phrase, removed my ego out of the way. This seems hard for a teacher to be that open to students.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's why we're working with new teachers. If we were trying to work with more seasoned teachers, it would be a little more challenging. But what we're discovering through the programs that I was a part of, Teach for America, who basically recruit teachers who are typically non-education teachers, teachers who are new to the profession, many of these teachers are open. When I went to the school that we're going to be working with and I sat down with some of the new teachers, they were excited that they were getting support. They didn't care that the support was coming from young people or from the administration. The fact that what we found out in data is that many teachers leave the profession not because they don't like the kids. they struggle with administration and they feel that administrators don't give them the support. So after surveying a group of new teachers, first, second, and third year teachers, many of them are very open because they want to know what does it take to engage these hard to reach young people. Is it going to be very challenging in the beginning? You know, it is. Just like any mentor-mentee match, we have to find the perfect match for these young people and for the teachers. But what's going to be interesting is the students will not be matched with their own teacher. We know that that will be unfair. So we understand that. So we're matching students with teachers that they don't have as a current teacher for the particular cycle that we're focusing on.
The test project that you did at Baltimore City College last year, what would you say the big takeaway was for you? What lesson did you get from that?
That young people have a powerful voice, that young people are willing and open to receive coaching, and that also that the teachers were very receptive to receiving what the young people had to offer.
What was the reaction of students when they found out they were going to be evaluating teachers, that teachers would be asking them for advice?
Of course they loved it. There was an ego boost for them because their thinking is, nobody ever asked us anything. Nobody ever asked us our opinions about food. They haven't asked us our opinions about school uniforms. They haven't asked us our opinions about really anything. And so they were really, really excited that teachers would be willing to open up with them. Is it going to be easy? I know it's not going to be easy. I'm up for the challenge. But again, my goal is to really to support the work that our new superintendent is excited about. And we have to pour into our teachers if we want to keep them, not only just in Baltimore City, but across the country.
So skip forward 18 months. What do you want to have accomplished by then, and what happens then?
Well, I want to collect some data. I'm starting from, because I got to put my researcher hat on, I want to collect the data to see if this thing actually works. We're going to do this pre and post surveys to see how teachers felt before and then after. And then we want to talk about how many years we think that they'll stay in the profession. And then I want to see how many student coaches, the young people they're working with, who might be interested in going into the profession of either education or social work. And then our big goal is that we want to replicate this in other schools in Baltimore City. We want this to be a model that then can be used. I got some great people who are on my team early, retired teachers who are going to volunteer. We're actually in the process of recruiting young people right now. And the teachers are really excited to give these young people an opportunity. When I met with some of the teachers, to see the light bulbs go off in their heads were like, I know some kids who also sort of need this push. And we're not just looking for the best and brightest kids with the best GPAs and student leaders. We are looking for kids who want to be a part of the change in this city. And I think the Teacher Exchange will be a great example to doing that.
Thanks for telling us about it.
Thanks for having me.
And good luck.
Thank you. Yes, we're going to need it.
Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields is a recipient of a 2016 Open Society Institute Baltimore Community Fellowship. For the next year and a half, he'll be working on his project, The Teacher Exchange, at Coppin Academy, a public charter high school in Baltimore. There are 9 other Open Society Institute fellows this year. Other projects include a free school supply store for teachers and a running club for students at Dunbar High School in East Baltimore. You can find profiles of other OSI fellows at the On the Record page at wypr.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Have a great day. Join us again tomorrow.